This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes. Also, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube original channel, UCTV Prime, available only on YouTube at youtube.com/UCTV Prime. This UCTV podcast is sponsored in part by Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available, including many by guests you've heard here on UCTV. Audible.com is offering UCTV podcast listeners a free 30-day trial subscription and one free audiobook download. Just visit audibletrial.com/UCTV to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/UCTV. And thanks.
In terms of why Le Nos, we had a wonderful conversation, I think the year before, when you told me about your thinking of doing this year, looking at the relationship of Stravinsky and music, and you, it's always such a thrill to be able to work with Steve and David and the La Jolla Symphony on projects and chorus. And Steve generously asked me, "Well, which works do you like?" And of course, I love them all. And I think at first we were talking about possibly the Rite of Spring.
But
I myself, as a choreographer, was daunted by how many people have taken on that particular work, and I love the music of Le Nos, and we don't get to hear it so as often. And you had also brought that one up, and I was excited about the idea of really investigating that work. Mm-hmm. And I think I did more research on this piece than maybe any other work that I have done, because there was such a deep history choreographically. Bronislava Nijinska, of course, the original choreographer, had done. And ultimately, for myself, I felt like I needed to find what my voice wanted to be with it. And I thought about, if Stravinsky was alive, what would be the conversation I would have with him to be able to... because I think this was a really dear work to him. Mm. It was really his love song to Russia during, you know, it began it right before the war, and afterwards he wasn't able to return again. I think Nijinska had chosen a darker way of looking at it, and what I read in the notes of Stravinsky and in his libretto and what he thought about it, I really saw the work as going to a joyful ending by the end, and decided for my version to frame it in that way. And also wanted to take advantage of this remarkable community that we have on both sides of the border. And so working with the company Lux Borel Contemporary Danza, who have become a family to me, so that seemed obvious, but also to include students, members of the professional community, people of different ages, to match the really beautiful community that you have within the chorus and musicians on the stage. I mean, I really felt like we all were the village.
The musical challenges in Le Nos are reflected in the fact that Stravinsky himself had trouble finishing the piece. He saw so many challenges. He began it actually almost immediately after the Rite of Spring. The ink on the Rite of Spring was dry, and it was almost 10 years or something like 10 years before the piece was actually performed, and he had different versions of it, including chorus and orchestra and different exotic keyboard instruments. And the version that we now know and that's become the standard one was something that he worked on for quite a long time. The fact that this coincides with the outbreak of the First World War, his exile in Switzerland, as Allison said, his sense of longing and melancholy for his home made all of these things really, really poignant. And they all turn into kind of interesting problems, so that you have, when you have four pianos and large percussion group, and then try to balance those with singers, you have an issue. It's complicated by the fact that the music is rhythmically very incisive and not straightforward in terms of performance, and so you could have a very, very large chorus that would in fact balance the instrumental resources, but then it's not nimble enough. You need to have to find just the right number of singers so that you can get all of the rhythms to speak, and not to mention just to speak in Russian. We did the piece in Russian, which is, it's not always done in Russian, but that was our decision because it's such the colorful qualities of the language underscored the robustness and the vividness of the instrumentation. So doing all of that to get it just to be balanced but also fleet enough, I think, was really one of the problems. It's a piece that's not long enough to stand on its own in a concert. It needs a partner no matter what. And so the question is, what could you possibly put around a piece with such vivid and robust colors and such rhythms and such choreographic impulses that are embedded with it? What can you put around it that won't try to compete and then therefore lose, and that will complement it? And so, you know, we had some conversations about that. Or there wasn't, at least at the beginning, a particular logic to the Ligeti metronome piece. But in the end, it turns out to be kind of a perfect partner for it.
I became really intrigued with the idea of time is passing, and it's that moment that the bride-to-be is waiting, and I'm almost seeing it when she's looking down at the metronome as her whole life is passing before her eyes, right at that moment that the last tick is going, and then the silence happens, and then it was so beautifully timed with the beginning of Lanos.
It worked on so many levels that I think we were both delighted by without having really thought of what all the implications were.
I think
were.
It was more an impulse and an instinct, and then I think both of us were so delighted just to hear the sound of the 100 going off for the first time. Wasn't that fantastic?
It brought tears to my eyes.
It was wonderful.
It's a piece I've known about, I've read about, and I've never heard. And the first time those 100 metronomes were released, it was like, oh, my God, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I relish trying all kinds of things in dance. I love it all. And so I felt like I should do what is most appropriate. Well, appropriate's not the right word. Fitting to try to bring forth what I interpreted as Stravinsky's desire for the music. I mean, I really kept trying to think about if he was alive and I could have the conversation with him, how could I best bring to the stage what he was imagining for his music. And I think he was, I read in a particular autobiography, he was puzzled actually at some of Nijinska's choices being different than what he had imagined, but he was pleased with the strong vision of hers. And so that again let me know that many versions are possible, as in fact many versions have come. Absolutely. For Lennos. And that's the real joy of being a choreographer, is that we are able to honor context and history that has come before us, and then in the very word of contemporary, we find what is right for today, for ourselves, to the present. What is the story to tell here? And for me, the story was marrying a Russian world to the San Diego Mexican border. And again, for me, the key was community and the building of village and community on the stage. And I have, in fact, since that evening, have been continuing to look at the work and maybe even abstracting it even more in new ways. So it's a rich source of material to keep diving into. I love that about dance. I think you can work on a dance for years and keep going inside and inside and inside of it.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.